Blog Talk Radio.
Sin. And so after Messiah came, then that requirement went away.
yet still the rest of his laws, his statutes, and his commandments that he kept in place, he said he would write them in our hearts, and so that we should do them. So, I pray that we're getting this. For a lot of us, we've read these things before. For those who have never read these or never had the understanding or weren't taught from the Old Testament, understand that this is what the Most High said that he would do, that he would write these things in our heart, that we should do them. And so this is who he's looking for, those that are going to obey him and be without spot by not transgressing. That being said, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, wherever you may be, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, whether you're in the Middle East, the Far East, the European Theater. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. Holy hands raised to the Most High. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today and we glorify you and we lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we bow down and give you the knee, Father, and give you all glory, honor, and praise. For truly you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. And Father, we just thank you every day for all that you do for us and allowing us to read in your word and to understand what you are saying. And Father, to follow in your steps. And we just glorify you on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory to your name. And let me plug my speaker in real quick. Give me one second. Oh. We will be celebrating the new moon ceremony on the 19th of this month. So I pray everybody, 19th of this month. That does not fit in here. There we go. All right. So we will be celebrating that. Get ready for it. For those of you who participate, for those that are new to it, I pray that you come to terms with it. A lot of people still don't like the idea of doing it, and I think that may be because there's some other organizations out there, not church organizations, but worldly organizations that are celebrating what they call the new moon. It has nothing to do with God. Has nothing to do with the Most High. And so we have to understand that. All right. So the new moon is pressing the first that's still the dark moon. Okay. That being said, let us hold our hands up in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Today, let's get Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 1. because this is where I see Israel failing at in keeping this, to keep the statutes, the laws, and the commandments, but they don't really say about keeping his judgment. Deuteronomy 12 and verse 1, these are the statutes and the judgments which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah, Elohim of thy fathers, giveth thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth. And so we know that in Ezekiel chapter 18 or chapter 36, can't remember which one, but he talks about, you know, the righteous man keeping his judgment, and that he gives us his spirit so that we keep his judgment, his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances, and his judgments. It's very important to the Most High that his people keep his judgment, or, you know, his verdict on things. All right, nevertheless, let us sound the shofar to end this Shabbat.
just say.
Harlot, but if she's a virgin and still in her father's house, then you can go to her funeral, okay? So, and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, that's near to him, which has had no husband, for her he may be defiled. So the priest could be defiled for father, mother, sister, brother, sister, if she had not been married, she had no husband, daughter, you're close in. Other than that, you weren't supposed to be around dead people. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beard, nor make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy unto their Elohim, and not profane the name of their Elohim. For the offerings of Yah made by fire, and the bread of their Elohim, they do offer. Therefore they shall be holy, clean, set apart. They shall not take a wife that is a whore or profane, neither shall they take a woman put away from her husband, for he is holy unto Elohim, his Elohim. Thou shalt sanctify him therefore, for he offers the bread of thy Elohim. He shall be holy unto thee, for I, Yah, which sanctify you, am holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the whore, she profanes her father, she shall be burnt with fire. And he that is the high priest among his brethren, upon whose head the anointing oil was poured, that's when they're acting in the office of high priest, and that is consecrated to put on the garment of the high priest, shall not uncover his head nor rend his clothes. His head while he was in this office, and if he was performing the office of the high priest, he couldn't tear his clothes like if he was in anguish because somebody died. Neither shall he go into any dead body, nor defile himself for his father or his mother. So, the high priest could not defile himself for even his father or his mother if he was in office, if he was doing the duty. Neither shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his Elohim. For the crown of the anointing oil of his Elohim is upon him. I am Yah. He shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a profane or an harlot. These he shall not take, but he shall take a virgin of his own people to wife. Neither shall he profane his seed among his people, for I, Yah, do sanctify him. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generation that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his Elohim. So if they have a blemish, if they have a running issue, if they are in for the bread of their Elohim, a sacrifice, for whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man or lame, he that is has a flat nose or anything superfluous. Superfluous. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that word right. Let me look that up. Prolonged reflex, be deformed by excess of members, stress out self, have anything, or like if he's crippled, okay? Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed. So even to offer the sacrifices to the Most High, you cannot have a blemish, or crook back, or a dwarf, or that has a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy, or scab, or has his stones broken. No man that has blemish of seed of Aaron, the priest, shall come nigh to offer the offering of Yah made by fire. He has a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his Elohim. He shall eat the bread of his Elohim, both of the most holy and of the holy. So he couldn't offer it, but he could still eat it because he was a priest. Only he shall not go into unto the veil. Under the veil is the holy of holies. Nor come nigh unto the altar, then come to the altar and make sacrifice, because he has a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuary, for I, Yah, do sanctify them. And Moses told it unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel. So the Most High has some peculiar things about who he will deal with and who he won't. Okay? Leviticus 2. Leviticus chapter 22. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am Yah. So the tithes are holy. Those are holy things unto Israel, unto the Most High. They are the holy things of Israel. Any vows that they bring, these things are holy. And the Most High says that the priest couldn't take it and do whatever he wanted to with it. So nobody should be taking the tithes and going to the casino or going to a whorehouse or going to do anything like that because they're holy. Okay. Verse 3, say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth unto the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto Yah, having his uncleanliness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am Yah. So if the priest had some uncleanliness going on in his body, maybe he slept with his wife. He's unclean. He was not to go unto the holy things. That's as an example. Can't just say, oh, the marriage bed is undefiled. We'll do this, and then I'll go do my duty to the Most High. He says, no. He says, I'll cut you off from my presence. I am Yah. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper or has a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy thing until he be clean. And whosoever touches anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth out from him, or whosoever touches any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he has, the soul which has touched any such shall be unclean until evening, and shall not eat of the holy things, unless he has washed his flesh with water. So if you were of the family, and you touch anything that was unclean, the Most High said, you don't touch anything that is holy. Now, you'll read that about the woman when she has had a child while she is in her purification, those 33 days or those 66 days that she's in purification for her child, she's not allowed to go into the sanctuary. Any woman. Okay. And if she was on her menstrual cycle, she wasn't allowed to go into the sanctuary. For the same reason, because she was in an unclean state. If a man has anything and he's unclean, not to go into the sanctuary, okay? And then once he is clean and washed his flesh with water, or she is clean and washed her flesh with water, then they can take part in the holy thing. And when the sun is down, and this is what people got to understand, when the sun is down, okay, because the day starts in the evening, and it ends in the evening. So it's from evening to evening. So as the sun goes down wherever you're at, it's the start of the next day. Okay? And when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterwards eat of the holy things because it is his food. That which dieth of itself or is torn with beasts, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am Yah. So you don't find a dead deer laying in the forest on the side of the road, pick it up and take it home and butcher it and eat it, even if you just saw it get killed. They should therefore keep my ordinances, lest they bear sin for it and die therefore. If they profane it, I, Yah, do sanctify them of the holy things. So these things that the Most High said were holy unto of the children of Israel, no stranger could eat of these things. A sojourner of the priest, a visitor of the priest, or a hired servant shall not eat of the holy thing. So you can invite them to dinner. If they were a visitor, and they weren't part of your family, if they were a hired servant, that you didn't own them, they couldn't eat of the holy thing. Only the priest and his family. But if the priest buy any soul with his money, now he's bought this person, he shall eat of it, because the person is now part of his household. And he that is born of his house, in his house, they shall eat of his meat. If the priest's daughter also be married unto a stranger, he may not eat of any of the offerings of the holy things. So just because she was the priest's daughter, when she got married, she is now part of another family, not allowed to eat of the offerings of the holy things. But if the priest's daughter be a widow or divorced and have no child and is returned unto her father's house, as in her youth, she shall eat of her father's meat, but there shall no stranger eat thereof. So, you know, we be doing things, and the Most High has rules concerning all these things that he expects to be enforced. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto Yah. Because remember, when somebody brought a tithe in those days, it was, you know, it could be sheep, it could be grain, it could be the fruit of the land. It was what wasn't burnt to Yah was for the priest and their family. And they shall not profane the holy things of the children of Israel, which they offer unto Yah, or suffer them to bear the iniquity of trespass when they eat their holy things. For I, Yah, do sanctify them. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblations for all his vows, and for all his freewill offerings, which they will offer unto Yah for a burnt offering, you shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the bevy, or of the sheep, or of the goat. Okay, so he's giving the rules for making a sacrifice to him from all the children of Israel. Now, we're not doing animal sacrifices today, and it's ourselves that we're to offer as a living sacrifice. You shall offer at your own will, not at because somebody said so, but because you want to give him a sacrifice, a male without blemish of the bevies, cattle, the sheep, or the goats. But whatsoever has a blemish, that shall you not offer. If it's blind, crippled, been maimed, got a broken horn, got a torn ear, anything like that, you wouldn't offer it, for it shall not be acceptable for you. So, you know, it's just as simple with Cain. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, but Cain could have got a sheep or something, and it had a blemish, and it wouldn't be acceptable to the Most High. When you are giving the Most High an offering, you need to give him your best. Whether it's money, whether it's the offering of yourself, whether it is whatever you have, if you're giving it to him, you should make sure that it's your best. Not just pull out and say, oh, here's an offering. And it's a wrinkled up $1 bill. If that's all you got, then it's all you have. That's your best. But if you got one that looks better, get better. And you want to give the Most High your best, that's what you would do. It's a matter of respect. Not a matter of you just throwing something up. Okay? And whosoever offers a sacrifice, a peace offering, unto Yah to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in bevies or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken, maimed or having a wind, and I don't know what this wind, this word is, so let me look it up. So we know. Incessant swelling or a tumor. So if it has a tumor, so it's sick, it has, or scurvy, or scab, you shall not offer these unto Yah. You'll make an offering by fire of them upon the altar of Yah. Just, you know, don't bring anything that's sickly to the Most High as an offering. Either a bullock or a lamb that has anything superfluous or lacking in its part, or missing a part, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering. Either a bullock or a lamb that has anything to fluff or lacking in its parts, that mayest thou offer for a free will offering. But for a vow, it shall not be offered. So if it was maimed, you could bring it for a free will offering. But if it was for a vow, you couldn't. You shall not offer unto Yah that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall you make it any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall you offer the bread of your Elohim of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, when a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam. 7 days means from the time that it was born. And from the eighth day and thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto Yah. So if you had a lamb, you weren't to take it from the mother for 7 days. And on the eighth day, then it was eligible to be taken from the mother and offered as a lamb or as a sacrifice. Also, he said, don't seize a lamb in its mother's milk. In other words, don't cook the lamb in its own mother's milk. There's something cruel about that, okay? Now, they have interpreted that in today's language, hey, you shouldn't eat milk and cheese. Or not, stop that. You shouldn't eat milk or cheese with meat. That's the way they interpret that, but it doesn't mean that, okay? Abraham offered to the Most High when the Most High came down and visited him. He offered lamb and butter and bread and milk. So how are they going to turn around and say, don't offer cheese with meat? Abraham did it, and it was acceptable by Yah. He's saying that it's a cruel thing to offer a lamb that this dam just had, and still probably still producing milk, still attached to it. You take it and kill it, and then cook it in her own milk. He said, don't do that. It's cruel. It has nothing to do with diet. And whether it be a cow or a ewe, you shall not kill it and her and the young both in 1 day. And when you shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto Yah, offer it at your own will. In other words, Most High wants you, if you're going to make a sacrifice to him, make it because you want to make it. You can't offer any animal. But even today, offering a free will offering to the Most High, we don't do animal sacrifices. So we give of whatever we can. He says, I want you to give it of your own will because you want to do it. If you don't want to do it, don't give it. Okay. On the same day it shall be eaten up. You shall leave none of it until tomorrow. I am Yah. So if you do a sacrifice, a thanksgiving offering to Yah in those days, which was an animal, and they would sacrifice the animal to Yah, and then they would eat it. They wouldn't burn it up on the altar. Said you had to eat it that self same day. Therefore you shall keep my commandments and do them. I am Yah. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am Yah which hallows you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Be your Elohim. I am Yah. Okay, so don't profane his name. Don't say you belong to him and then don't obey him. Don't bring an evil report like David did. David caused the nations, when he got Bathsheba pregnant and tried to hide it, and he says, when the nations find out about this, they are going to profane my name. They're going to have an evil report about my name, that I allowed you to do this. And that's why David got punished. Leviticus chapter 23. His feast days. Now, these are his holy days. Anything outside of these are man-made. You will honor these days. It doesn't matter whether you are Israel or not. He gave them to Israel to give to the rest of the world. The rest of the world wants to celebrate their own feast days. But if you are a Christian, quote-unquote, Christian, if you're a follower of the Bible, then these are your feast days, not Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all those things. These are. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of Yah. These are not Israel's feast. They are the Most High's feast. They are God's feast. He gave them to Israel to keep, to do them, but they're his. So if you follow God, then these are also your feast days, not what man says. Children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of Yah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation. Even these are my feet. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath rest, the seventh day of the week. It belongs to Yah. And a holy convocation, you shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yah in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of Yah, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. Now, if you look up this word seasons, it also means moon in their month. So before, when we were celebrating the new month, and when I sent out the message, explained to everybody and showing them in the scripture that the moon is used to determine this. Because people were arguing it. Why aren't you using the sun calendar and that kind of stuff? I said, because the Most High told me. He hadn't, but when they asked me this question, the Most High hadn't shown me these verses, but he told me. The new moon. And so that's what we kept. But then he showed me why they don't use the solar calendar and why we're not supposed to use the solar calendar. And he proclaimed this from the very beginning in Genesis. But man wants to do what man wants to do. And so once I taught it and showed people, hey, he says you use the moon and not the sun. It is written. Then more people showed up for the new moon. But people have short memory and, you know, they do what they're going to do. Nevertheless, we shall be faithful to this. These are the feasts of Yah, my holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons or in their months. In the 14th day of the first month, at evening, 15th day of the first month. You get the first month after the you use the solar calendar to figure out the spring equinox. That's when the sun, you have I think you have an even day there, even light and darkness, the start of the spring. The first new moon. In that, after that spring equinox from the sun, it's the first month of the year. So you get the spring equinox, and then you say, okay, what's the next new moon? That's the beginning of the month for that month. That's the first month of the year. And then on the 14th day of that month is his Passover. Now, over. But they use Passover and they use the Sabbath day to calculate like Easter or Pentecost, especially Pentecost. There's no way that you can come up with Pentecost Sunday using Sunday as your Sabbath day because it's seven Sabbath, and if you use Sunday to calculate that, then you will come up with 49 days on a Sunday, and then plus one day, that would be Pentecost. That would be on a Monday. The church never celebrates Pentecost on a Monday. It's Pentecost Sunday. They know where it's from, but they don't want to keep Yah's Sabbath day. It's a lie, and they know that's a lie. So they get it from here. Okay, so the seventh day is the Sabbath. The first in the first month, on the 14th day, is Passover, the celebration of when the Most High brought Israel out of Egypt. But this is also a day that Messiah was going to be crucified on and become our Passover. In the New Testament, he was crucified on Passover. And we come up under his blood because of that. Okay? And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, unto Yah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now, I'm not going to go into Deuteronomy and find this, but I'll just tell you. The Feast of Unleavened, according to the Bible, according to the Most High, starts with Passover. You don't eat any unleavened starting with Passover, and for 7 days until the 21st of the month. So when you first read this, you might think Passover is the 14th, and then on the 15th of the month, you start the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. That would mean from the 15th for 7 days takes you to the 22nd of the month. But he shows you in different places that that is not so. The first day of unleavened is Passover. And if you go into the New Testament, you will see that it's consistent with that. The first day of unleavened is Passover. Okay? So I'm just explaining it to you here. The Feast of Unleavened that they celebrate. So you got Passover and then Feast of Unleavened for 7 days. In the first day, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall vile work. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work. So the first day, which is Passover, you don't do any servile work. And on the seventh day, you don't do any servile work. They are holy days. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you come into the land which I give unto you, you shall reap the harvest thereof. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Now, all of these feast days are the Most High has them celebrating something that has not happened yet. Passover happened. So he's telling them to celebrate that. The weekly Sabbath were happening. He said, celebrate that. But the first fruit, when he's telling them to celebrate that, this also has to do with Messiah. All of the feast days point to Messiah. Okay? Verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before Yah to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So you have Passover. Passover is not always on a Sabbath. And you got some people that try to make it always on the Sabbath. But it's not always on the Sabbath. It can be on a Tuesday. It can be on a Wednesday. It can be on a Monday. Whatever the first weekly Sabbath is after Passover, then that next day is going to be this feast day, the Feast of First Fruits, the heave offering. Okay, and you're to wave it to the Most High. Lift it up. Now, the first day after the weekly Passover is a Sunday. At the end of the Sabbath, Messiah came out of the tomb. As it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That means he came out as the sun was going down to start the next day. And he came out and he fulfilled this feast of first fruits. For that day when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto Yah. And the meat offering there shall be 2 tenths still of fine flour, mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto Yah for a sweet savor or a sweet smell. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, and the fourth part of a hind. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your Elohim. That's why I said this feast day, the feast of first fruits, the heave offering has an offering that you're to make to the Most High. It shall be a statue forever throughout your generation, to all in all your dwellings. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow, from that day, after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheep offering 7 Sabbaths. So you bring the sheep offering on the first day of the week, that day. So the first Sabbath will be the weekly Sabbath of the week. 7 Sabbaths from that, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete, even unto the morrow, even unto the day after the 7th Sabbath, which will be always be a Sunday. The Sabbaths are on Friday evening to Saturday evening, the 7th day. 7 Sabbaths is 49 days plus 1 is 50. That's where they get that word Pentecost. Okay, but it's not really called the Pentecost in the Bible, in when he gave the feast day. And you shall offer no meat offering unto Yah. You shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of a tenth deal. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yah. And you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock, and 2 lambs for a burnt offering unto Yah, and with their meat offering and their drink offerings, and even the offerings made by fire, a sweet savor unto Yah. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goat for a sin offering. and two lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of a peace offering. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yah with the two lambs. They shall be holy to Yah for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. So that Sunday is supposed to be a holy convocation. And you're not supposed to do any servile work in it. It shall be a statue forever in all your dwellings throughout your generation. Now, this feast is called the Feast of Weeks, not Pentecost. The Feast of Weeks. But if you call it Pentecost, as long as you are celebrating it, then that's what the Most High is going to look at. But it's actually called the 49 days plus one is 50 in the Greek. Leviticus 23 and 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest. Just like he said before, don't reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of the harvest, anything that you left over. So you harvested your corn, you left some corn on the stalk. That's the gleaning, or it fell on the ground. That's the gleaning. You don't go back and pick it up. You leave it for the poor. Neither shall you gather any of the gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor, and to the I am Yah your Elohim. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, so if it fell on the ground, Moses didn't say it was unclean. Go back, you pick it up, you wash it, and you eat it, cook it and eat it. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. So now we're in the seventh month. We went from the first month. Then 50 days is about a month and 20 days. So that would be the third month. You're into the fourth month with Pentecost. And now in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of the trumpet, a holy convocation. Now this is the same day that the Most High came down in Exodus chapter 19. And the children of Israel saw him and heard his voice. All the whole nation saw this and heard his voice. And it was the blowing of the trumpet that made them afraid. And it made Moses quake. Because you remember that day with the blowing of the trumpet. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also in the tenth day of the seventh month. Now the seventh month is not, these months are not according to the Julian calendar or the Roman Greek calendar that we use today. So when it says seventh month, this is not July. The first month is not January. Okay, it's based upon the moon and it's based upon the solar for determining the beginning of the year, but not just, you know, when you're going to start the year. That's based upon the solar equinox. Then the first moon after that equinox is the first month, and you start counting the months after that. That's usually, that can be anywhere from March to early May, depending upon the lunar cycle. Okay, anywhere from March, and so you have to figure it. It has to be calculated every year. And a lot of people have a hard time keeping this because we, you know, the way the world celebrates Christmas is December 25th every year. But the Passover and the Most High feast days don't fall that way. The first of Nisan is the first of Nisan. But it may not be April 1st every year. It may not be April 8th every year. It can be a different day based upon the lunar cycle. So it had to be calculated. Okay? And that's where a lot of people were getting off, because the world has set it up so that you can celebrate their holidays with a day off and you don't have to go to work, you don't have to do whatever. But when it comes to the Most High, then they don't want to recognize that. But we as the people, what we have to do in order to this, you got to plan your vacation and your time off based upon this. so that you can honor him in it, because the world will not honor him in it. And so it takes a conscious effort to do it. Okay? But he says these are perpetual. You will do these no matter whether you're in the land or not. You can't do the animal sacrifices with them because there's no temple to do the sacrifice. And Messiah became this. There's more than just one type of sacrifice. You got the peace offering. You got the free will offering. You got the meal offering. You got the sin offering. Messiah was our, he died for our sins. Those other sacrifices, I can't do them. Because all those sacrifices had to be brought to the door of the temple to be done. You couldn't do them on your land. You couldn't do them out in the field. So we can't do them. And he says, you know, for sin, I never wanted the blood of bulls and goats. But I did it so that I could have, make an atonement for you. Okay? But the other sacrifices, they're still in place, and he's going to reinstitute those in the future. Verse 26, and Yah spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. Now, this day of atonement was so that the priest could go in and make an atonement for the nation, all of the sins of the nation, for the nation of Israel at one time. Now, this atonement didn't apply to anybody that had willfully sinned. I want you to understand the way this works, because what Israel has been doing, as far as I can see, the camps and everybody, they're using the Day of Atonement to say, well, I'm going to come to the Most High, and I'm going to atone for all my sins for that year. No, that's not what that was for. Now, we still keep the Day of Atonement, but we keep it in honor to reverence, because this is what he's going to do when he comes back. But Messiah is our sin offering. He died for our sins. And if it's willful sin, the Bible says that Messiah is the blood of Messiah don't cover that. You're surely not going to go sacrifice a sheep. Sin. In the Old Testament, willful sin, the priest didn't make atonement for it. He says, your iniquity shall remain with you. Your blood shall be on your hands, because they were really supposed to kill you back then. But your iniquity shall remain with you, and you couldn't bring an atonement for that. And on the Day of Atonement, the priest couldn't include that, because that blood had to already be at the altar. But the Day of Atonement is actually the day that he would cleanse the altar with blood. Cleanse it with blood. Sanctify it with blood. All the sins of Israel on that day would be forgiven for everybody who was able to bring a sacrifice for sin, to atone for ignorant sin. It would be atoned for on that day. If you did a sin that the priest couldn't make atonement for, your sin was not forgiven, even on the Day of Atonement. It wasn't already in at the altar. And the priest couldn't, you know, say, well, I'm going to now make a sacrifice for this person, because the Most High said their iniquity shall remain with them. So their sacrifice had to already be at the altar. That blood had to already be spilled. And when the priest did the ceremonies for the Day of Atonement with the scapegoat and the lamb, whoever's sins were not in the altar at that time didn't get covered. Their sins remained upon them. So understand the way this worked, because Israel was using it as, you know, as a way to come to the Most High. No, you are misusing the Day of Atonement. You are misusing, if the Most High says if it was willful sin, you couldn't have brought any sin, any sacrifice for that anyway. And so people were doing this stuff in ignorance, and the Most High was not pleased with it. So we have to understand the way these things work. So on the 10th day of the 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your soul and offer an offering made by fire unto you. And you shall do no servile, no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before Yah your Elohim. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And whatsoever soul it be that does any work in itself in that same day, that same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your soul. In the ninth day of the month at evening, starts the tenth day. From evening to evening shall you celebrate your Sabbath. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this month, of this seventh month, shall be a feast of tabernacles for the 7 days unto Yah. So on the 10th day was the day of atonement. On the 15th day, for 7 days, was tabernacle. Now, all of the nations, whether they were circumcised or not, could come to tabernacle. Okay? And in the future, when Messiah returns, all the nations will be required to come to Jerusalem for tabernacle and learn about the Most High so they can come and worship. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yah. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. And on the 8th day shall be a holy convocation unto you. So this is a feast that lasts for 8 days. You observe it for 7, and on the 1st is the holy convocation, and on the 8th is the holy convocation. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yah. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. This is not a party. A lot of our brothers were making these feast days parties. They were solemn days. You are not in Israel and you're in the world and you're in a country that don't observe these, then you have to arrange your life to observe these. You get a job, they give you vacation time. Your vacation time, if you're going to serve Yah, should be set around his feast days, so that when his feast days come around, you're not saying, well, you know, the job won't let me do it. They got me working that day. Not if you put in for your vacation, your time off around it. The way you have to have a purpose to do this. And because we don't purpose to keep Christmas or Easter or any of those days because they're national holidays in the lands that we're in, it's not a problem to keep those days because the nation makes it easy. But if it comes to keeping the feast days and the Sabbath of the Most High, then it makes it difficult. And for you to do it, you have to have a purpose to do it. So you look at your job, you say, okay, they gave me a week off. I can't keep all these 7 days, but I can put in for the solemn days. I can put in for the 1st day and the 7th day, or the 1st day and the 8th day. And you structure your life around that. These are the feasts of Yah which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, to offer an offering made by fire unto Yah, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and a drink offering, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbath of Yah and besides your gifts, because, you know, you can bring a gift to the Most High anytime you want it to. And besides your vows, if you're going to make a vow to Yah, because besides all this and besides all your free will offerings which you have given unto Yah. So these are all of his feast days and the sacrifices that he required. Besides these things, your personal things, your Sabbath, your gift was personal. Your vows were personal. Your free will offerings were personal. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep a feast unto Yah 7 days. On the 1st day shall be a Sabbath. On the 8th day shall be a day of the boughs of goodly trees and branches of palm trees and of the boughs of thick trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before Yah, your Elohim, 7 days. And you shall keep it a feast unto Yah 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month. So So the first day and the eighth day were holy convocations. Every other day, you could actually have a party. You could actually feast. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Now today, we don't have to use the boughs of trees and anything like that. You can actually get a tent. You can actually have a temporary dwelling made. A lot of people do that. But you can get a tent and do this. Dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am Yah your Elohim. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of Yah. Now, he said, we keep that the Feast of Tabernacles, and the nations will be required to come and keep this in the future. To remember that he brought us out of Egypt and made them dwell in booths in the wilderness, in temporary living quarters in the wilderness, until he brought them into the cities and gave them permanent housing. He says, I'm going to give you housing that you didn't build and fenced cities that you didn't build. Until the meantime, you're going to wander around this desert and you're going to live in temporary housing, making you makeshift housing booths to dwell in. 6:08. Go to Leviticus chapter 24. Now, everything that he is saying is feast days, we are still to keep these. We're still to honor him in it. We can't do the sacrifice, but we still honor him in them. We still remember what they are for. Because he tell his moves, and these are the days that he says, I want you to remember and celebrate. He don't want us mixing him and do what the nations have done, mix him into their holidays. Because all of their holidays, they have tied to another deity, to a false god. He says, don't throw me in that mess. But that is exactly what they have done. Messiah was not born on December 25th. Birth date is revealed in the tabernacle, in the raising of the tabernacle to be the first of Nisan. Just like the 14th day of Nisan, he would die. In the heave offering, the first day after the Passover Sabbath, he came out of the tomb. All of the Most High's feast days tell something about Messiah. He says, remember the first of Nisan. He don't say we celebrate it, but we remember it. It's the start of the new year. But it also was Messiah's birth, the day he was born. And he had to be born in the spring and not the fall or the winter. He had to be born when the lambs were born, because he was the Lamb of the Most High. He was laid in a manger, in a stall where the lambs would have been kept, but the lambs were out in the field having their lambs. That's why the shepherds were out in the field watching over them, because they were having their baby lambs at that time, and the shepherd would want to be there to protect those baby lambs, because the wild animals know when the sheep would have their babies. And a baby lamb is defenseless, even though a sheep is defenseless anyway, but even more so as a lamb, as a baby. It's an easy meal. Sometimes the sheep would have problems delivering. The shepherd would be there to assist the sheep in the delivery. And it's at the same time that Messiah was born. He was born at the time of lambing. Okay. Where do we go here? Let's go to Numbers, chapter 5. Book of Numbers, chapter 5. So these things, besides the sacrifices, the animal sacrifices, everything else the Most High wanted us to keep, even when we were in the land of our captivity. His statutes and his laws. He didn't say, oh, you're in Babylon, forget about my laws and follow the laws of Babylon. So he told them to submit to King Nebuchadnezzar, but King Nebuchadnezzar was actually following the laws of the Most High until his wise men told him, hey, make a statue to yourself and tell everybody to bow down to it. Then he messed up. Numbers chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that has an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Why? Because the Most High was walking in the camp among them. Both male and female shall you put out. Without the camp shall you put them that they may that they defile not their camp. In the midst whereof I dwell. At the time his tabernacle was in the middle of them. Even he had to tell them, hey, go and make a pit outside the camp. As I walk among you, don't be defecating, taking a dump in the camp. As I walk among you, and I don't want to step on that stuff. I don't want to be around it. And the children of Israel did so and put them out without the camp. And Yah spake unto Moses, as Yah spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or a woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against Yah, and that person be guilty. So remember, you could do a trespass in not being clean. And it would be considered sin, since you will be guilty. Then they shall confess their sin, which they have done. Confession is not something new in the New Testament. The Most High always wanted people to acknowledge their sin. Confess, sinner. Because that's what the church is doing today. You know, hey, you're a sinner. But people don't really even know what that means. Oh, you smoke and you drink. Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find if you smoke or drink that you're a sinner. It says if you're a drunkard, it's a sin. If you defile your body, it's a sin. So you shouldn't do that. But you won't find it specifically saying that you can't smoke. And so they don't know the laws of the Most High. They don't actually really know what sin is. But in the New Testament, it defines all of these statutes, these laws, these commandments, and these ordinances, the law, all of it together as the law. And if it says, and sin is the transgression of the law. That's what it is. Because when somebody sins, even in the Old Testament, they were to confess their sin. Not to say, I'm a sinner. Well, what sin did you commit? Oh, I stole something. Or I cheated. Or I used a false weight. Or I fornicated. Whatever it was, they had to confess. Okay, now, he's saying if it was ignorant sin, you could confess it. So people are going to read this if they don't read the entirety of the book. And they'll think that the Most High is saying, okay, whatever sin you commit that men commit, just confess it. Then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof. Now, people don't know this. There is a monetary fine for sin, for ignorant sin. You have to pay a price for it. Or thereof. If you go through the scriptures, you'll find that certain things were 5 shekels or 1 shekel, that sin, if it was a ignorant sin. And then you had to add to it. And add unto the fifth part thereof. So let's say that the sin was, well, I'm just going to use it easy, $100. And you add a fifth part, that means you had to add 20 to it. And give it unto him against whom he trespassed. So this is something that you did against your neighbor. Let's say you took something of theirs, and it had a certain value. Whatever that value of that thing was, you paid that principal price, and then you added a fifth part to it, 20%. Not 10%, a fifth part is 20%. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense, to repay the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto Yah. Pay the principal plus the fifth part unto the priest, even to the priest, besides the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. So you can be atoned for this. It will be forgiven you, but you have to pay the price plus a fifth part to it. And every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. And every man's hallowed thing shall be his, the priest. Whatsoever any man giveth to the priest, it shall be his, the priest. Now, we read in another place, and I can't remember if this is in Leviticus, but the tithe and the offering that the people gave to the church, to Yah. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally. So this is a woman who's married, and she sleeps with a man that's not her husband. And it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept closed, and she be defiled, and there be no witnesses against her, neither she be taken with the man. So she didn't get pregnant. And the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. He don't know it, but he's jealous for some reason. And if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled, then this is what's going to happen. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offerings for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, and an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity into remembrance. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before Yah. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, the priest shall take and put it into the water. And the priest shall set the woman before Yah and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of the memorial in her hand, which is the jealousy offering. And the priest shall wave it in his hand, the bitter water that causes the curse. And the priest shall charge her by an oath, and say unto the woman, if no man have lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanliness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from the bitter water that causes the curse. So if you're innocent, don't let nothing happen to you. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man has lain with thee besides thine husband, then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. And the priest shall say unto the woman, Yah make thee a curse and an oath among thy people, when Yah does make thy thigh to rot and thy belly to swell. And the water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels to make thy belly to swell, thy thigh and thy to rot. And the woman shall say, Amen and Amen. And the priest shall write these curses in a book, and he shall blot them out with the bitter water. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave the offering before Yah, and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterwards shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he has made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled, and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter into her, and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thighs shall rot, and the woman shall be accursed among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free and shall conceive seed. So she's going to, if she didn't do anything, then he says, I'm going to cause her to get pregnant to show that she was innocent. This is the law of jealousy. When a wife goes aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon him and he be jealous over his wife, and shall set the woman before Yah, and the priest shall execute upon her all this law. Then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity, and the woman shall bear her iniquity. So I looked and tried to find the same requirement if a man did this. There is no requirement in the law for this. In the law, the man could have more than one wife, but she was never allowed to have more than one husband unless she was divorced and remarried, but she was only allowed to have one husband at a time. And if she made him jealous, and he thought she messed around, then he could take her to the priest and say, hey, I think my wife is cheating. And the priest would do this, perform this ritual and this law, and if she had cheated, then the Most High would do this, would cause, you know, her belly to swell and her thigh to rot. Okay? But if she was innocent, then he would say, okay, conceive seed. You're going to have a child. Okay. So when I looked for something similar for this for the man, there was no such thing. Okay. So that is the law concerning that. Jealousy. Now, the Most High, when you look up all these other scriptures concerning jealousy, the Most High would say he's jealous for his people. He's jealous for his land. Find anything where the man or the woman could come to Yah and say, I'm jealous of my husband. It's not there. There's no ritual for it. There's no charge for it. Kings chapter 2. Let's see what Solomon did. Solomon, the wisest man in the world. Let's see what he did. The Book of Kings, chapter 2. Actually, before I do that, we're going to read these scriptures. We're going to read all these verses concerning jealousy. Okay? So Numbers 5, we just went through that. Let's go to Numbers 5. We did that 525. 530. Let's go to Numbers chapter 25. Those of you, like I said, who I've given this program to actually do your own search. If you find a scripture where the Most High is dealing with the man concerning this, let me know, because I looked, I could not find any anywhere. Numbers chapter 25, verse 11. I think that's where we were going. Yeah, Numbers 25 and verse 11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. The Most High gets jealous. And he said he would consume the children of Israel because they were serving other gods. They were fornicating with other gods. To Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 20. And Yah will not spare him. So let's see what's going on here. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Let's start in verse 1. I'm not sure I'm familiar with this story or I can remember it. Deuteronomy 29, starting in verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which Yah commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel. So this is talking about the covenant that they're coming into with the Most High in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them at Horeb. And Moses called unto all the children and said unto them, you have seen all that Yah did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto his land, the great temptation which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet Yah has not given you a heart to perceive. He hasn't given you a heart to understand, and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old. Your clothes haven't got old in 40 years upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon your feet. So their sandals made out of leather or whatever they were made out of. He said, hey, you've been walking for 40 years in this wilderness. Your clothes ain't got old, and your shoes ain't worn out. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine nor strong drink. Now, 40 years, they ate manna, but they didn't eat no bread. Neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am Yah your Elohim. And when you came into this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand this day all of you before Yah your Elohim, your captains of your tribes, your elders and your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer, the cutter of thy wood, unto the drawer of water, that thou shouldest enter the covenant with Yah thy Elohim, and into his oath, which Yah thy Elohim maketh thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee an Elohim, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before Yah our Elohim, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by, and you have seen their abomination and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from Yah your Elohim, Yah our Elohim, to go and serve other Elohim of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood, a bitterness toward the Most High. And it came to pass when he heareth the words of this, and it came to pass when he hears the word of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart, to add drunkenness to this thirst. Yah will not spare him. But then the anger of Yah and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in his book shall lie upon him, and Yah shall blot out his name from under heaven. So this is what it's talking about, that if they don't keep the covenant with Yah, and they go and imagine in their own heart what they want to keep or not keep, Yah says that he will blot their name out from under heaven. And his jealousy shall smote against them. So we got to understand that. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And we're going to get verse 21. So here they are worshiping idols, and the Most High is saying they have moved him to jealousy with that which is not Elohim. They have provoked me to anger with their vanity, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish talking about the church, and he's talking about the Gentile church, the Gentiles that come in that don't keep this law. He says, I'm going to provoke you to jealousy. You going to fornicating after other gods, I'm going to take a wild woman that don't keep my commandments, that are a foolish nation, and it's to make Israel jealous. Because we got to do all this, why they don't have to do it? It's prophesied about. Okay. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14. And Judah did evil in the sight of Yah, and they provoked him, Yah, to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. Now, what were their sins? And Rehoboam, now Solomon built altars to these strange gods. So, and see what he did and what his son did. Jeroboam is Solomon's son. And the Most High said that he would rent the kingdom from David, but not from Solomon, his son, but from Solomon's son. So let's go and read this. And at that time, Abiah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, and disguise thyself, that thou be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people, and take with thee 10 loaves and crackernels and a cruse of honey, and go to him, and he shall tell thee what shall become of the child." And Jeroboam's wife did so and arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. And Yah said unto Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. And thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she shall feign herself to be another woman." So the Most High is telling the prophet, this is who's coming, and she's going to pretend like she's somebody else. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet, as she came in at the door, that he said, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, for as much as I see from among the people, and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to thee. Jeroboam was the son of Solomon. That's not true. Jeroboam was a general in Solomon's army. And Solomon wanted to kill him because the Most High, he learned that the Most High was going to give him 10 tribes. Jeroboam ran into Egypt. Okay, he ran into Egypt and brought back calf worship, okay, from Egypt. So let's go ahead and continue to read. And rent or tear the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee. And yet thou hast not seen my servant David, who kept my commandments, who followed me after all his heart to do that which was right in my eyes, but hast done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods. This is what Jeroboam did. He fled to Egypt, and he brought back calf worship. Now, remember when they came out of Egypt and the people begged Aaron to make a golden calf? And Israel worshiped cows until Moses' time. Okay? Thou hast done evil above all that were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods, molten images, to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and let in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it all be gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for Yah has spoken it. So Yah says, I'm going to have you taken away like some doo-doo. Nobody regards, has no regard for when they are disposing of some dung. And then everybody that pees against the wall, these are males, I'm going to have them killed. And if they die in the city, the dogs are going to eat them. And if they die in the field, the fowls of the air are going to eat them. Arise thou, therefore, get thee to thine own house. And when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. So you came here to find out what's going to happen because of what Jeroboam did. And they provoked the Most High to jealousy. The Most High says, okay, the child that you're coming about, he's going to die. Indeed. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward Yah, Elohim of Israel, in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, Yah shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. For Yah shall smite Israel, as the reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of this good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves provoking Yah to anger. Now these groves, they were, a grove is a patch of trees, okay? Like you have a grove of fruit trees. But these groves, they would plant and worship Asherah in them, a female god. They would worship her in these groves. And so he's telling that this is what Jeroboam did. He made groves and provoked Yah to anger, and then he made some molten calves and set up an altar in two cities for them to do their burnt offerings, because he was afraid that if he let the people go to Jerusalem to worship, they wouldn't come back. So he did all of this out of fear. And he shall grow up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tizrah. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him according to the word of Yah, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah, the prophet. And the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the days which Jeroboam reigned over were 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his stead. Okay, so, and Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which Yah did choose out of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Amorite. And Judah did evil in the sight of Yah, and they provoked him to jealousy. So now this is Rehoboam, Solomon's son, provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed above all their fathers had done, for they also built them high places. Now I did a lesson on the high place. This is where they thought they could be closer to God, and the people who worshiped Baal built their altars in the high place. He told Israel, when you go into the land, told Joshua, when you go into the land, tear down all their high places. Tear down their altars in the high places. Tear down their Asherah rock, their Asherah, their groves. Anything that they make that they worship that as a god, bring it out and burn it. Tear it down. So here is Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and he's building altars in the high place, and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also sodomites in the land, men who were sleeping with other men. Or if we go by the definition of sodomy in this country, it's not just men with men. It's women with women. It's performing oral sex. It is sex with animals. All falls under sodomy. And they did according to all the abominations of the nation, children of Israel. Okay. So the Most High came against him because he did these things. And Sister Mary, I'm going to mute your mic because you got some background noise. Not unless you have a question. If you have a question, then you can unmute yourself. All right. So, again, this is a scripture on jealousy. And this is where Israel has made the Most High jealous. Or when the man is jealous of his wife. Okay. Go to Psalm 79 and 5. The book of Psalm 79 and 5. How long, Yah, wilt thou be angry forever? Shalt thou jealousy burn like fire? Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Psalms chapter 8 and verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. And if we look at that, let's just start in verse 1 and read down. Oh, that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breast of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee, yet I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of the spiced wine of the juice of my pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my beloved until he flees. Who is it that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is as cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which has a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contempt. We have a little sister, and she has no breath. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a palace of silver. And if she be a door, we shall enclose her with boards of cedar. I am a wall, and my breast like towers. Then was I in his eyes as one that found favor. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one for the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. My vineyard, which is mine, is before me, Solomon, and must have 1,000 thus, those that keep thy fruit thereof, 200. Thou that dwellest in the garden, the comparison hearken to my voice, cause me to hear it. Make haste, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of spices. So again, this is having to deal with the man. I don't know why I was dealing with a flat chest woman, but, it was, I guess, something not to be desired. Isaiah 42 and 13. Forth as a mighty man, he shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar, he shall prevail against his enemy. Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 3. And he put forth the form of his hand, and took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens. So this is when Yah is bringing Ezekiel into the temple to show him what Israel is doing. And Yah is angry, and brought me into the visions of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looks toward the north, where the seat of the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. So house of the Most High. And the Most High was jealous that they would set up an idol in his house. And he was angry. And he said he would cause all these people to die without mercy for doing this to him. Verse 5. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 1. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house, the elders of Judah sat before me, that the hand of Yah, the hand of Elohim fell there, Yah Elohim fell upon me. Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire, from the appearance of his loins even downward, fire, and from his loins even upward, as the appearance of brightness, as the color of amber. Now we know Ezekiel has described the Most High this way before. The Most High in his appearance looks like fire. He sees him a second time here. And he put forth the form of his hand and took me by the lock of my head. Now the Most High, he's grabbing Ezekiel by his hair on his head, and he's going to lift him up. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heavens and brought me into the vision of Elohim to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looked toward the north, where was the sea. And behold, the glory of Elohim of Israel was there, according to the vision that I saw in the plain. Remember in the plain, when he saw that that whirlwind, and on top of that whirlwind turned out to be a bunch of angels. And on top of the angels was a platform with the throne of the Most High on it. And that is what he saw. Okay. Then said he unto me, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now the way toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes the way toward the north. And behold, north at the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy in the entry. He said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do? You see what they're doing? Even the great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary, but turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abomination. Now they have set up a statue, an idol in the Most High's house. He says, but they're doing some even greater abomination. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole was in the wall. Then he said unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. So he's still at his temple. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing, and abominable beast, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the walls round about. Now he's in the courtyard of the temple, side of the temple, and all these creeping things, things that the Most High said are unclean, and the beasts that are unclean, they have painted them on the wall in the Most High's house, and they're worshiping them. Okay? And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. They are worshiping these things in the house of the Most High. Then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in his chambers of his imagination is imaginary. Or they say, Yah sees us not. Yah has forsaken the earth. He said unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou see greater abominations that they do. If this ain't bad enough, to the door of the gate of Yah's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat a woman weeping for Tammuz. So this woman is weeping for an Egyptian god at the door of the house of the Most High. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations than these. And he brought me again into the inner court of Yah's house. Now we're going to the inner court. And behold, the door of the temple of Yah, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, 25 men with their backs toward the temple of Yah and their faces toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. These are sun worshipers. They're in the house of Yah and they're worshiping the sun as it rises. Then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger. And lo, they have put the branch to their nose. For will I also deal in fury? My eyes shall not spare, neither shall I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, I will not hear them. So does Ezekiel chapter 9. And this is where I found where we got the spirit of whoredom from. How he put this on us in slavery, how he caused it. He cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them to have that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man his destroying weapon in his hand. Go get the people who are killers. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, and which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen and with a writer's inkhorn. I want you to record this. By his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's ink horn by his side. And Yah said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. So the Most High says, see the mark, all these men who cry because of these abominations. And to the others, he said, in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have you pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Remember it says judgment starts at the house of Yah? Start at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, I was left, and that I fell upon my face and cried and said, O Yah Elohim, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, Yah has forsaken the earth, and Yah sees not. So my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will have recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. We'll stop here for that. We'll stop here for now. Okay. So Yah has said that they were worshiping and committing whoredom in his house. And they were worshiping other things in his house. And he said, I will kill them all, men, women, and children. Told those men, spare not, because they had caused their children to start doing this. And they're doing it in what? Secret. So they say Yah was not in the earth anymore, and he didn't care for the earth. So let's worship other things. Provoke them to jealousy. Now, there are other verses, probably about, there's about six or seven other verses, but they're all about the Most High and his jealousy. And so, you know, my challenge to the women that are listening Bind the scriptures. What is to be done if a man makes a woman jealous? Because I don't think you will find one. And there's a reason for that. But another different lesson. Okay? Another different lesson. That being said, are there any questions on anything that we've covered this evening? Any questions from anyone? No questions from anyone?
Any questions?
All right, amen. All right, then what we will do is we're going to pick this up, not tomorrow, but next Sabbath, because we're still looking for what puts spot on us. How we get spots, how we get wrinkled. And we're going to be coming, you know, we're going to continue in the law, because all of the law is not written in the New Testament. It's written in the Old Testament. It's coming from the Old Covenant. And when we are contrary, let me say it this way, when we are contrary to Yah and his judgment, his statute, his ordinance, his commandment, then we are in trespass against them. And everything that applies to a man doesn't apply to a woman, and everything that applies to a woman don't apply to a man. That's what we will find. But each one of us has to walk in what the Most High has given us to walk in, meaning that whatever his statutes, his commandments, his law, his judgments are for the woman, she must walk in it. And whatever they are for the man, he must walk in them and do them. Okay, so we will continue in this because both of us, male and female, are to present ourselves to the Most High unblemished, without spot. And we have to keep our personal opinion, our imagination out of it. Well, I imagine the Most High would feel about this way. If he didn't write it down, if he didn't have it written, we can't add to that. His laws, his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his judgments are his. And he says we have to obey him. All right, with that being said, it is at the top of the hour. I pray something was said to encourage you, to inform you, to educate you in the word of the Most High as to the things that he says that offend him. We'll continue this on next Sabbath. And I eventually want to get to the wedding. I eventually want to get to the wedding so that we can see what Messiah is going to do. But he said, I'm coming for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. He's not just taking any, and you know, think about it, who he is. He don't have to accept just anything or anyone. But people think that he does. He don't. He says, I'm looking for somebody without spot. I'm looking for somebody without wrinkle. I'm looking for somebody without any such thing to be my wife, to come into that relationship with me. That's who he's accepting. And so the church want to say, well, you know, he forgives us for all our sins no matter what. Well, we know that's not true. Especially when he says, you use my name. You did these works in my name. You healed in my name. You fed the hungry in my name. You clothed the naked in my name. You did miracles in my name. Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But they're doing these things in his name, and they believe that they're going to be his bride. They believe that they're coming into a relationship with him. He says, I don't know you. How are you going to be in a relationship with me? So we're going to be looking at that ceremony, because that bridal ceremony is actually prophetic. And it tells about his return when he's going to return, who his bride is going to be, who are the guests. And when he was married to Israel in the past, he says, I was a husband to Israel. Now he says, Israel, you're invited to the wedding as a guest. So who is the bride? Well, I've shown you guys in the past who the bride is, but we're going to be looking because things that the churches teach, it's not there. It's just not there. So that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you into. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints. For this is the whole duty of man. Shalom and enjoy the rest of your evening. And the credits.
Yahuwah. Shalom, Brother Miles. Shalom, Shalom. Oh.
Good night, Brother Miles.
Shalom. Have a blessed evening, everybody.
You also.
Thank you.
I'm going to bring a bicycle for you.